Hey, I'm Alistair.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the Commander's Brew.
This week, Atrexa Acquaintances. Okay.
All right.
We're back. Guess what? You probably know, but we have a special guest today.
It's me, the taller, handsomer Andy Hall.
Well, I can verify you're taller, handsomer is objective, and I'll leave that to the viewers
exactly.
to decide.
It's objective. Yeah, it's not subjective.
Wait,
it's
subjective?
No, it's objective. It's science.
I always
I'm
mix
scientifically
them up.
More handsome than Andy Hall.
Well, I mean, haven't we decided it's all about symmetry?
Yes.
So, like, we could measure your faces and see whose is more symmetrical.
If you'll notice, I'm always going to keep my face at a bit of an angle to the camera, so you'll never know.
One of my eyes is higher than the other.
Oh, really?
Can you see it on YouTube?
Oh, maybe.
One of them's a little bit lower down my face than the other, just subtly. I'm aware of it. We're all aware of our own things way more than
yeah. For just you podcast listeners, my face is actually perfectly symmetrical.
Yeah, like Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
He supposedly has the most symmetrical face.
Wait, I say my face. Alistair's like the whitest guy in the world. And you're like, oh, yeah, Denzel's the right guy to compare. Like just a really, really, like, black, cool guy. Like, the exact opposite of me.
I just heard somewhere that he has one of the most symmetrical faces in Hollywood. That's why.
And you believe, like, I'm like, really, like, cool and, like, urban. And, oh, that's terrible. I shouldn't say urban. That's... Let's not get into that.
Let's not get into it. Let's get into the show. As you know, this is the Commander's Brew.
Yeah.
We will do a deck every week. It'll be on budget. It'll be under $50 unless a card has to be in there. That's when the card might be over $5. We're going to take a little twist today, but we'll get to that in a second. As usual, if you like what we do and you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. That helps us out a lot. Or give us a subscribe on iTunes, write us a review, all that stuff. If you want to go deeper on that stuff, Patreon.com. We love that. That's just a wonderful way to support the show if you got some money to throw around. One of the perks is these shirts. I'm wearing a shirt of it. There you go. You can, if you're like a $5 supporter, once we get enough there, we'll mail you one of these shirts. We have a new sponsor too, Ultimate Guard. They, you know, sleeves, boxes, lanyards. All kinds of great stuff.
Spoiler alert. I mean, this might spoil some stuff because we were at the Toronto GP this weekend.
Yes.
And I got a Commander's Brew t-shirt and it was incredible. It's so good. I was going to wear it today, but it stinks so badly. And Sean's a good friend of mine. I was like, this is probably okay. But then I smelled it. I'm like, it's probably not like too much even for a good friend. Like, that's how badly it stinks.
Fair. I got into the point where I was just like, ugh.
You don't care about me.
No.
You might as well just keep wearing it.
No, I didn't want to, like, I'm going to be wearing this shirt through. I did laundry halfway through so that it was a fresh shirt. But I didn't want to, like, I could have been just like, I could be stinky a little bit. People are used to people being stinky at these things. I was like, no, I don't want to support that.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Exactly. We can't keep pushing that stereotype.
No,
we're going to be fresh and clean.
No.
And then also, we got a lot of Ultimate Guard swag. I did especially. Well, we both did. Including two of the archive boxes. And I got six of those boulder cases.
Yeah.
And when I first saw those boulder cases, I was like, I don't think I need these. And then I got them and I'm like, I need these so badly.
They're
amazing.
They're neat. They're neat. You could use your tickets when you win stuff. So
yeah.
We cashed in some tickets on some of that stuff instead of things like foil cards or stuff. We'll get to that in a sec, though.
Yeah.
But we have one more sponsor we got to thank. Our OG sponsor, the Wizards Tower. Let's hear an ad from them now.
Hey, children. I want to talk to you about the importance of physical fitness. Here on Amonkhet, we love cycling. It's a great way to get around, not to mention drawing an extra card. It's great for your cardiovascular health, and if it was a chefette monitor, you also get to tutor up a basic. Or a desert? I'm going to be honest, I don't remember exactly how that card works, but I know that it's important to do your part to help the environment. We know the environment is in a tough state right now here on Amonkhet, But you know what's not in a tough state? Ordering magic singles from the Wizard's Tower, wizard.com. Did you know that if you order $15 in singles, they'll ship to Canada for free? What a great deal! And don't forget to use coupon code TOWEROFBREWS to get an extra 5% off, and you'll always get 3% kickback on your next order. Kickback reminds me of a kickstand, which is a part of a bicycle, which goes into this bit about cycling. Yay!
Welcome back.
Oh, that was great.
It must be very hard to ride a bike in the desert.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to say, though, as a man who eats a lot of Nutella yeah. and is interested in health concern stuff, I cycle all the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the desert, you just get more exercise cycling in the desert.
I feel like you just kick dirt up and not go anywhere.
Yeah, I think they have desert bikes, though. I think it's like one of those things you could do, like sand dune, you know, drive down
that
the sand.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, and they're like really fat wheels, like, I think.
Cool.
I could be just totally making this up.
Well, people have invented a thing where you glide with just little wings between your wrist and your waist. And they, like, fly around canyons and stuff that
yeah.
way. So, like, for sure someone's like, oh, sand dune, gonna bike down it.
Yeah, totally.
For sure.
This sounds like a good idea, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Human beings love terrible ideas yeah. when it comes to thrills.
I love those wingsuit videos, because for everyone I'm watching, I'm like, three people probably died to make this video.
Oh my god, it's morbid, but I feel the same way about when I see, like, those videos of people who, like, climb construction sites and, like, hang on to, like, ledges, like, 40 stories up.
Do you get a tingly sensation in your balls when that happens?
Because I love it so much.
No.
Because these Russian climbers are so fit.
Oh, man, it just turns me on. No, it's like a heights. I don't know why. I always feel it in my, you know, in my dingleberries. It's like, it pulls up, like... Anyway, I'm the handsomer version of Andy Hall, so just talking about a dingleberry.
Right. Well, let's go to our first segment, a favorite of the show, The Commander's Burn. This is where we take a card and we just burn it to shreds. A card that should have been better than it was, but it isn't. So this week, you sent in burns for Brain in a Jar. So we're going to read a few that you guys came up with, and then we're going to do a few of our own.
Love it.
Sam Mackey at Tate. Tail boy with a number in there, not sure how to read words with numbers,
yeah.
says, hey, Brain in a Jar, at least you have something else to be in, because you sure won't be in any decks.
You! Okay, Craig at Craig RKR says, Brain in a Jar is that card every player thinks must be good in a different format. It's not. Dot, dot, dot.
Right.
Right, just... Right. Let that silence, you know, sit after that burn, like that uncomfortable, you suck, Brain in a Jar.
You just yeah. hear the sizzling, like, after the silence. just a low sizzle.
I really want to start carrying around a griddle with me now, an electric griddle, like, just so I can burn people and be like, you know?
And then have the odor of fresh cooked bacon.
Yeah, totally. like, you're not getting any.
And then you eat the bacon in front of them. What a burn. Especially if they're vegan. Okay. Jesse Durant writes, Brain in a Jar, I'll drink brain brine before you make the 99.
Oh!
It rhymes. It rhymes. Rhyming burns. Rhyming burns.
And also, you shouldn't ever drink brain brine. I would assume it's really bad for your health.
What? There is fluid around our brain, right?
Yeah. But
what is it?
It's brine, yeah, salt water.
Is it water, or is it like some sort of special liquid that only appears in our skull?
I don't know. Let's get these two comedians to figure out the medical right. term for the liquid around the brain.
I don't know.
I feel like it has to be gelatinous, whatever it is.
I feel it's liquidy.
Yeah,
not thick. I feel it's runny.
No, I think it's viscous for sure.
Okay.
Okay, we're gonna. Somebody's gonna have to tweet us what it is, and then we'll.
So gross. You know, I gotta say, we are mostly idiots.
Oh yeah.
And we make wild assumptions every episode, and you almost every episode someone corrects us or guides us, and I learn an interesting fact every episode.
I hope there's a doctor out there listening to this and then just turning the podcast off. I can't do this. You idiot.
Okay, good. So let's have some of our burns. I'll go first. hey, Brain in a Jar, they say that you only use 10% of your brain. Well, this deck would only be using 1% of your card as a card. Because it's 1 out of 100.
Oh!
Ratios.
So there is no word limit on these burns. I didn't know that.
No. Come up with these. No, go ahead.
I just meant yours was really long. Okay, great.
Commander's burn on the burn.
Thank God for Brain in a Jar, because I've always wanted to cast a 3-mana instant for free, just one time and never again.
Hey, Brain in a Jar, I really want to break this card. Oh, sorry, I misspoke. I meant break the jar.
Oh. Okay, mine is close. The next one. You know what kind of an opponent I'd want to fight? A Brain in a Jar. I'd just knock it over.
Yeah. Hey, Brain in a Jar. Nice cerebellum, more like terum and sellum. Oh, wait, no one would buy you.
Okay, Brain in a Jar, more like your mana doesn't go far.
Oh! No,
it's just... Okay.
Well, you're good at that.
Yeah, well, I have been compared to Denzel Washington.
You have. Put that on your resume. Yeah. Great. So here's who we're burning next week. If you want to get a burns in on this guy next week, we're burning the Unspeakable. Okay, here it is. 6, blue, legendary creature, spirit, 6/7, flying, trample. I'll remind you, that's 9 mana for a 6/7 flying trample. Whenever the Unspeakable deals combat damage to a player, you may return target arcane card from your graveyard to your hand.
Like, this card can't have even been good in the format with Arcane. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I wasn't around then, but I assume not. I want this card to be better. I see it from time to time, and I'm just like, no way. So let's burn it. Let's put it to the coals.
Yeah.
Great. Moving on. This is the episode. Here's what we're doing. Alistair came on as a guest because you have what would traditionally be called an Atraxa Super Friends deck.
Right, and I've drafted for years, and I have a bunch of Planeswalkers, and I was like, I've always wanted to build this deck, and then I don't have much money, so when I was putting it together, I realized what I was actually building was the Atraxa Acquaintances deck.
Right, they're not super friends.
No.
They're just people you kind of know a little bit.
Yeah, specifically, this is what happened. I went to a local game store, and I said to them, hey, do you have a some cheap Planeswalkers, like less than $5 ones? And the guy says to me, oh yeah, we get like 13-year-old boys coming in here all the time asking for just those cards and they're terrible. So we keep a binder of them just so that we can keep them out of the way. Here you go. And I was like, yep, I'll be a 13-year-old boy. Just bought all of those cheap, crappy Planeswalkers and put them in the deck.
Did you have a Nutella sandwich when you were there too?
Oh, always me and my 13-year-old boy self.
Yeah. I mean, we do play a game as a like pretty deep, but it's a smart game. It's a you got to be brainiacs. Cool. So, right, traditional Super Friends decks with Atraxa are just tons and tons of Planeswalkers.
Yes,
because Atraxa proliferates every turn, so you can get more loyalty counters on them. So your opponents just can't keep up. They have to attack them specifically instead of you and have to divide it up. So it's difficult to overcome. And it's all about those ultimates, right?
Yeah. And traditional, I think the like really good Super Friends decks, the best Planeswalkers are ones that can protect themselves, that create tokens and stuff like that. I have a couple of those in there because I've drafted them. The rest of them don't protect themselves because they're terrible. but I still have so much fun playing all of them and just hoping to get to the ultimate, which are just okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're pretty good, but like they're not the best. And then also like I think a lot of them do doubling season, which of course I don't have. But I did get the Atraxa Precon, so Deep Glow Skate is in there, so you can maybe get that sweet, sweet ultimate going. It's great.
Yeah.
But that's the plan, is trying to ramp up, protect your Planeswalkers, and ultimate all day.
Great.
And then profit.
And profit? Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Because are you betting on games?
Yeah, I haven't told you guys yet, but I've been keeping a tally of all the games I've won. So you guys owe me some money.
Okay, so then, but then if the winner was, then don't you owe us a bunch of money?
We weren't betting on those games.
Just the ones you won?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Atraxa, for those of you who aren't aware, Atraxa Prater's voice is green, white, blue, black. So you got four colors. And she's a 4/4 flying legendary, sorry, she's 4/4 legendary angel horror. Flying, vigilance, death touch, lifelink. At the end of your turn, you proliferate. Awesome. So let's start with one of the things Atrax is amazing at. So just before we get going, so this will be a little out of our normal budget stuff. Atraxa herself is going for $20.
That's ridiculous now. Yeah.
Because she's such a like powerful, like proliferate every turn, and just all the abilities too. Vigilance, death touch, and lifelink, and flying. Like you can attack people for free most of the time, and it's she's just an A+ on so many angles.
Yeah, you know what? I think, and she's, I believe, now the most popular commander ever built, like, on EDH rec, like, the most number of decks for Atraxa.
Could be.
And I think it's because it, like, hits all of that, like, it hits Spikey, Johnny, and Timmy.
Right.
Even Vorthos players, you know? Like, and you could really, nice hiccup, and you could really meld your Atraxa deck to sort of be whatever kind of player you are.
Yeah. So, yes, which is perfect. So, for those of you, maybe you have an Atraxa, maybe you got that pre-con, or maybe you don't. This will be over our traditional $50 budget, but we're going to talk budget. We're going to talk about where you can save some money. And I do think that this will be, you know, if we ever did, like, medium budget decks, this would be it. Great.
And Super Friends decks traditionally are really expensive, and this is definitely a cheap way to do Super Friends.
For sure, for sure. So, great. Going into the deck specifically, proliferating is amazing on mana abilities. Atraxa has the ability to get so much mana. So, Alistair, why don't you take this first one here?
Astral Cornucopia. This one comes in the precon. It's XXX, colorless. Astral Cornucopia enters the battlefield with X charge counters on it. Then you can tap it, choose a color, add one mana of that color to your mana pool for each charge counter on Astral Cornucopia. Now, of course, the best part about this is XXX, it can be, like, super expensive, and I don't think this is a great card in a non-proliferate deck, because, I mean, it's fine, but you're basically paying 3 mana for one, for a mana rock, because otherwise you're paying 6 mana for 2, to get 2 counters on it, 2/2/2.
Right,
and
right.
That just seems, like, dumb. But in Atraxa, it's perfect, because you pay that 3, 1/1/1, put one counter on it, get Atraxa out, and immediately start proliferating every turn. So, the first time you have it out, it's going to add 1 mana, the next turn 2 mana, 3 mana, so and so on and so forth. It's great.
Yeah. This so many artifacts or lands or whatnot give you mana based on counters.
Yeah.
And Atraxa, that just means, like, you ramp one per turn.
Yes.
Another one we want to talk about, this is a land now. That was an artifact. So one land in the deck is a Dreadship Reef. This is a blue-black dual land. So it comes into play untapped, and you can add colorless. Or you can pay one and tap it to put a storage counter on Dreadship Reef. So this taps and the other land taps. So you kind of are out 2 mana to put one counter on it. Then you can just remove X storage counters to add X mana in any combination of blue or black to your mana pool. And the way, because it's confusing, but the easy way to think about this is just tap it, remove as many counters as you want, and that's how much blue or black you have.
Yeah, and I'll say I was surprised the first few times I played this about how good these cards are in the deck with proliferate. It's crazy how quickly you start ramping when you can proliferate these cards with counters on them, which traditionally are super slow, but in this deck they become super fast.
Yeah,
because if you have even 2 of them out there, that's 2 extra mana per turn, like on top of your extra land you're playing.
Sure, like that's massive ramp, right? And then, so we've got one artifact, we've got one land. Let's talk about a creature now, also an artifact.
Oh, Crystalline Crawler. This guy's great. 4 mana. It's got Converge. It's an artifact creature construct, a 1/1 power, but it's got Converge. So Crystalline Crawler enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter for each color of mana spent to cast it. Which in this deck is very easy to get to 4. It's super easy to get it in with 4, but even if you're at 3, that's also super great. So then you remove a +1/+1 counter from Crystalline Crawler, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. then you can tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on Crystalline Crawler. You probably will never use that last ability because you'll just keep proliferating.
Well, I mean, you would use both.
Yeah.
So you'd proliferate and add one. So it's getting true. Two yeah. bigger every turn.
Yeah, if you're, yeah, totally, totally. It would, on the, like, opponent's end step right before, you'd always, like, tick it yeah. up one, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, and this is, so, great. So this one's going up too. This one is one of the more pricier ones, right? This one's over $5.
What?
Yep. Because I think it's the only one of its kind. It was only made for this deck.
Yeah, totally.
But there are a lot of other things you can do if you want to save some money. I thought of a card that you might consider adding that was not in your brew.
Yeah.
It's called Druid's Repository. Now, this is an enchantment. I purposefully tried to find something that was a different category of cards.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's harder to destroy different things, right? Let's not go down to one board wrath unless it's exile all permanents or something. So Druid's yeah. Repository is an enchantment for 1GG. Whenever a creature you control attacks, put a charge counter on Druid's Repository, and then you just remove one counter to add one mana of any color to your mana pool. Same deal. Atraxa is good at attacking. So it's once you have her out, that's when you want the counter because that's when you're proliferating, and that's when you get the first one started, right? So it's not hard to start it. And you're just generating all of these cards. There's like 5 or 6 of them in here that just, when Atraxa is out, are all ramping you, quote unquote, one per turn.
Yeah. And you get, again, more than one of the other. It's just crazy the amount of ramp. Also, I want to add that I think you guys now have a new slogan. Because Commander's Brew is so good for teaching you really good tips about EDH. And it's hard to destroy different things is such a great, such a perfect... succinct way to get some really good advice. I think you should put that on your t-shirts. Commander's Brew. It's hard to destroy different things.
Sure. Yeah, we could do that. We could do that for sure. Yeah, stamped it. Great. So there's some mana stuff, right? But it's important to protect your planeswalkers, right? Like, it sucks if you play a planeswalker, we're proliferating them, we're building up to our ultimates, maybe. And...
yeah, maybe strong maybe on this one. Yeah.
But our opponents could just attack them. Maybe they make a, you know, their creatures are a bit bigger than Atraxa is at the moment. So let's talk about ways we can protect our planeswalkers.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one, because this thing, any planeswalker, this is what I've discovered, no matter how bad they are, become a target, for sure. So we want to put stuff in front. The first one, also in the pre-con, it's 2W for Orzhov Advocate, creature, human advisor, and it's a 1/4. Says, at the beginning of your upkeep, each player may put 2+1/+1 counters on a creature he or she controls. If a player does, creatures that player controls can't attack you or a planeswalker you control until your next turn. Which is super, it's so tempting. And every time I play this, and you've played it too in a couple decks,
yep.
Everyone just immediately does it because they feel like I don't need to attack you this turn. And it's such a good advantage. And if one person does it, almost everyone else will immediately do it because they're like, oh, well, if his is getting bigger, I must get mine bigger or else I'm going to be dead in a second.
And the beauty of this card is you always get to, because it just means you can't attack yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, who cares? So Atraxa gets her counters that way, and then she begins proliferating on herself as well, which is amazing.
Flying Vigilance, Lifelink, Death Touch.
It's nuts. And then your opponents are just like, ugh. Atraxa's just going to get bigger every turn, so we got to attack, so I can't take those counters anymore.
Yeah, yep.
And if I do take the counters, I can't attack you or your planeswalkers. It's crazy. Yeah, great card. Now, another way to protect our planeswalkers is Hooded Hydra, X, green, green. So this is an X creature. It's a great way to use all that extra mana we've got going around. Hooded Hydra enters the battlefield with X, +1/+1 counters on it. So it's 0/0 on the card.
Yeah.
When it dies, put a 1/1 green snake creature token on the battlefield for each counter on it. And it also starts with morph, so it can do it face down for 3, and it unmorphs for 3 green, green. And when it unmorphs, you get 5 counters to start with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're stuck on lands a little bit, maybe Atraxa is a little ways away from coming out, then you can just cast this face down, and later on when you're ready to start proliferating, turn it face up.
Yeah, I think The key for me with this one and why it's been so, and why I haven't taken it out, because it doesn't even seem like that good of a card, but why I haven't taken it out is, like, board wipes, of course, you, if you're playing Atraxa, will play a bunch of board wipes, because you want to get rid of creatures that won't hit your planeswalkers, and other people have board wipes, and they're coming in. You could block with this guy and just create five more blockers, so that can just buy you another couple turns to get your proliferate going on your, and get to those ultimates.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not afraid of snakes, but this picture makes me afraid of snakes. The art on Hooded Hydra.
You know, I never looked that closely, but it is terrifying.
Like it's like a giant horse, but like with six heads, but like with the cobra type, like flaps of skin that's translucent. Like,
Okay, moving on. Yeah. We'll get this out of here. Great. A non-creepy picture at all. Unless pointy metallic spiders are creepy. Hangerback Walker. This is from Origins. Remember him? XX enters with X +1/+1 counters on it. And then when it dies, you get a Thopter for each counter that was on it. And you can spend one and tap it to put another counter on it. Atraxa also will be proliferating these creatures. This is another example. When it dies, you get a bunch of Thopters. Thopters block a little bit better than snakes because they fly.
Yeah.
This card also getting a little up there in price. It's gone up to $3-4.
Remember when it used to be like $15? Like it was such a like...
Yeah.
And now it's, yeah, it dropped.
And then it dropped huge.
Yeah, huge.
And now it's climbing back up because it's useful. So we can probably predict that Walking Ballista will do the same thing.
Yeah, and I'm hoping once it goes down that I'm going to try and pick one up. Because it'd be great in this deck for sure. But
yeah, turn it into damage? For sure.
Exactly.
Cool. So there's some ways we can protect our planeswalkers with just massive amounts of creatures. Great. Every deck needs card draw, though.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a couple of these.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, card draw. Okay, Tezzeret's Gambit. I'm a big fan of this. This is 3 and a Phyrexian blue, which means you can pay with blue or 2 life. So it's like 3 and then 2 life or 3 and a blue.
But you always pay the life because you have lifelink on your commander.
Yeah,
so
right.
So you're getting life all over the place.
No problem.
And usually, we didn't talk about this, if people are sending all their forces at your planeswalkers, you can decide just being like, you know what, I'm going to let this one go. And it's like, you've spent your whole turn attacking me. I've lost 0 life.
Yeah.
Because you've all hit my planeswalker. So sure. Like, that's... I did not lose life in that attack.
100%. Yeah. So, Tezzeret's Gambit. The text says, draw 2 cards, then proliferate. It is a sorcery, which isn't as good. But the great thing about cards like this that can surprise your opponents and proliferate is that your opponents will be like, well, we've got another turn before that ultimate, like, based on the math of it. And then you drop this, proliferate, and then you can hit your ultimate and maybe save your planeswalker.
This is the thing about a Super Friends deck, especially this one. We've played this is in our meta. We've played this deck a bunch.
Yeah.
It's that, like, math where you're just like, okay, how long do we have until this one ultimates? Okay, we can wait a turn. We can wait a turn here.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you can't. Yeah. You do not know the math that Alistair knows for this deck. Like, there's other sneaky ways of clicking them up, and then, like, maybe Chain Veil comes down and you do another one on that. Like, crazy.
Do you remember the time that I played? I think Chain Veil is on... 4 mana, I think, and I played it on turn 4 because I was like, oh yeah, I'll get this out early, and I just didn't have any planeswalkers out for a while, and I forgot about the text at the bottom of Chain Veil that says, if you don't activate a planeswalker this turn, you lose 2 life, and I probably lost at least 10 life. So Chain Veil, for those of you who don't know, is 4 mana, it's a legendary artifact. At the beginning of your end step, if you didn't activate a loyalty ability of a planeswalker this turn, you lose 2 life. And then for 4 colorless mana, you can tap it, and for each planeswalker you control, you may activate one of its loyalty abilities once this turn, as though none of its loyalty abilities have been activated this turn. So obviously it's amazing I have 2 thoughts about this card. Okay.
Okay.
One, first, yes, don't play it when you don't have a bunch of planeswalkers ready to go.
Because
then you're not doing the math like Alistair.
Yeah.
Second is... I have played this, and it is great. It's amazing, because if you can get it, you can get close to your thing. But also, it's super expensive.
To do.
Yeah.
So 4 to cast, 4 to tap?
4 to tap. And what I find is, and maybe, again, this is just maybe it's because of the planeswalkers I have, but nice little cat in the background. I think it just requires so much build-up to get it there.
Yeah.
You have to get, like, you probably want more than one planeswalker out and ready to go. at the point that you are able to play and then cast this as well. So there's just a lot of buildup. Now, if you're getting a ton of ramp and stuff like that, you can get there and it's amazing. But it's I don't know if it's just a win more card, although it's just so much fun to play.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, yeah, cool. Well, let's keep this in mind. Let's keep the Chain Veil in mind. It's an important element. It only goes in Super Friends decks or Acquaintances decks.
Yeah.
But let's keep it in mind. This will come up later, I think, in some future discussions. Here's another way to draw on a Planeswalker. This is Jace, Architect of Thought. Jace has so it's 2 blue-blue for a 4 loyalty Planeswalker. And this version of Jace, FYI, I'm checking the price, is... $250.
Oh, yeah. One of them very much an acquaintance, not a good friend.
Yeah. So what we want to think about is starts with 4, and it's got usually an up and an ultimate. So we want to think how many turns if we don't proliferate until we ultimate, right? That's kind of a thing. So +1 until end of turn, whenever a creature an opponent controls attacks, it gets -1/-0 until end of turn. So... I don't know if people are planning on attacking you already. I mean, this hoses token decks for sure.
It does. And you know what? I will say that ability seems really bad, and it is, but at the same time, it has done work for me.
Yeah.
It has, like that one damage across a number of creatures, you do end up saving quite a bit, and it screws up their math for sure. When they're trying to defeat a certain one of your planeswalkers.
Yeah, but I think the main ability is the -2. So you get 2 uses of this before it's gone. Reveal the top 3 cards of your library. An opponent separates those into 2 piles. One goes in your hand, one goes on the bottom of your library. So it's like mini factor fiction kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is basically card draw. So you're going to, but it's a little bit better, right? Your opponent will choose the piles, but if you know you need... I need another Planeswalker. They're going to make 1 pile with 1 Planeswalker and 1 pile with 2 of anything else, and you'll take the Planeswalker.
Yeah, right? No problem.
You're in business. And with proliferating, Atraxa can get an extra couple of those out of him. So Jace's life is limited. You will mostly be taking this guy down.
Yeah. Now, this is the thing is, like, when I play this deck, I mostly try and just stick to ticking everyone up just because I want to get to the ultimate.
Okay.
Now, that's the wrong strategy for sure if you want to win the game.
Yes.
Because you're right. This guy for sure should be ticked down. But I'm always just ticking up to try and hit that ultimate. But let's talk about what the ultimate is on this.
Sure. You want to read it?
Yeah. Okay. So it's -8. So just for people doing the math, that's 5 turns before you can get to the ultimate with no proliferation. -8 for each player. Search that player's library for a non-land card and exile it. Then that player shuffles his library, and then you may cast those cards without paying their mana cost. Great. Really small writing from here. So you basically search everyone's library, you pull out a card, and you can cast those cards without paying the mana cost. That is a great ultimate for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. So it's one of those things where if you have Atraxa, maybe a Contagion Clasp, another way to proliferate, you can kind of decide like, it's worth it for me to go for that ultimate.
Yeah.
You got a Chain Veil out there, you can like tick up and then ultimate if you're like 1 away. So definitely something to consider. It's useful. Definitely has a good use. But we're in the card draw category. Let's talk about another Planeswalker that gets us cards. I didn't change it. You're seeing Vraska on the scene, but...
Oh my god, what a mistake. Should we shut her down?
Yeah, shut her down.
This is the last episode of Commander's Brew, everyone.
Podcast over. Ajani Unyielding. 4 green, white. 4 loyalty Planeswalker. Upticks by 2. And the ultimate is -9. So this is what, 4 goes to 6, goes to 8, so this is 4 away as well. Atraxa, because he ticks up by 2, the proliferate is not as noticeable because you're proliferating half of an uptick.
Yeah.
But, up 2, reveal the top 3 cards of your library, put all non-land permanent cards into your hand, and the rest on the bottom in any order. Non-lands are planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Artifacts that turn into ramp. Other enchantments, things like this.
Creatures, sorceries, instants, yeah.
Great. Well, as be permanent, so no instants or sorceries.
Yep, I know. I was just just saying things to make sure that you guys knew the rule. Podcast over, everyone.
Done.
Can you imagine somebody listening and be like, I don't know, they made 2 like simple mistakes and then they just ended the whole thing.
Yeah. Someone who like, so kudos to you listening right now for not hearing that. Turning it off, and then unsubscribing because you're like, well, I guess it's over. So yeah. Good for everyone who's stuck around. Yeah. So you're the real MVPs. He's got a minus ability that is useful if you need it. Exile target creature. Its controller gains life equal to its power. We don't care about the life gain. We just get to exile creatures around the board.
Huge.
And I think this ultimate is actually really good. Do you want to read this one?
Yeah, -9. Put 5+1/+1 counters on each creature you control and the loyalty counters on each other planeswalkers. Oh, and 5 loyalty counters on each other planeswalker you control. So, it of course... First of all, if you have any of your mana, like, ramp creatures out, it's huge, like, immediately creates so much mana, which is great. But then also, of course, it makes, like, all of your blockers massive, and probably you could swing in for a win. But also, more importantly, it immediately makes all your other planeswalkers basically ultimate.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So cool. But mainly a draw engine, right? Like, that's the primary function, which is great.
Yeah, I've never ultimated this guy. Or Jace, for that matter.
Because we don't let you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But we have let you ultimate this guy here. Oops. I messed up on all of these. So here we go. I'm gonna Andy usually does these tabs, so that's what's going on here. So.
This is great. And I'm handsome, then, but I'm not good at the tabs, apparently. So.
Okay, Sorin, Solemn Visitor. Do you want to read that plus? So it starts with 4 and goes up by 1, and you got to hit -6.
Yeah, so Sorin, Solemn Visitor is 2 colorless, white, black. +1, until your next turn, creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain lifelink. Now, the key is that it's until your next turn, so it does actually really help you on defense if people are really coming after you. Just in terms of, because I find people often target Atraxa because they want to stop the proliferate. So if you don't have Atraxa, this is a great way to just get some of that life back. -2, put a 2/2 black vampire creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Again, creates a wonderful little blocker if you really need it. But what you're really aiming for is the -6. You get an emblem with, at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature.
No, we let you get this once.
And I got it twice in the same game.
You got it a second time that same game. Yeah. You got it once, and we were like, can we scrap back? We spent so much energy figuring out how to get enough creatures to keep sacking to still make a threat to your planeswalkers that we let him get another ultimate. So now we had to sack 2 every upkeep. And at that point, I was like, well, this is over. But I'd like to point out, so he starts with a 4.
Yeah.
And you do 1 uptick, and he's now at 5. Atraxa's proliferate puts him to 6.
Yeah.
So on your very next turn, you can ultimate this guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, call him a bad planeswalker if you want. That's like this is one where you just run to that ultimate. And if you need a blocker, you can make a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. And when I ultimate these guys, for sure I like to stick them around, but... Knowing how everyone targets these planeswalkers, I do often just kill the planeswalkers to ultimate. Because, like, that's the whole fun of the deck, is getting those dumb ultimates.
Yeah. Another one that's in here is Jace Architect. Did we just talk about this?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, double it up. Okay, so now we're back. Now we're back to the plan.
So let's talk about, Vraska the Unseen.
Vraska the Unseen.
Yeah. I also wanted to put on a Johnny Unyielding. When I got it, it was like just out, and it was like $12, and now it's dropped down to like planeswalker level. Also, can I say that on this podcast?
We don't have a rule about it, but we try to keep a PG here.
Okay, great, cool. Have fun going and editing that.
Like, I'll find it.
Great. Just writing down the time code right now. Cool. Vraska the Unseen. Oh, you want to read this bad boy?
Sure.
Johnny, I was going to say, but it's great. It's like $3 now or something like that.
Yeah, right?
And it's great for this deck because of that card draw.
Yeah, we won't go deep on all these planeswalkers. You're kind of getting the point. We're not going to tell you the nuance of every planeswalker. These are a lot of cheap ones here. But we'll just say that Vraska is one. It's a fairly cheap planeswalker. She's $3, $4. Her plus says that whenever anyone damages Vraska, that creature gets destroyed. So she protects herself, and her ultimate, if you can get there, is 3 assassin tokens that whenever they damage a player, that player loses the game.
Yeah.
Which is a, like, very easy to deal with these tokens, but very scary when totally they're there. Man. So, like, not bad. Not a bad Planeswalker.
It's why I have a Rogue's Passage in the deck, just in case Magical Christmas Land comes.
Oh.
And I get these out and then can unblockable one of them.
I thought Rogue's Passage in there because Atraxa can get to, like, 12, 15 power, just be like, oh, I'll just kill you with my commander.
Yeah, strategically, that's the smart reason for but not the fun reason.
So I want to mention a few other alternate planeswalkers that are fairly cheap, that are between under $5 or maybe $6, that I would consider putting in this. Well, here's what so Tezzeret, Master of Metal, 4 blue, black. You don't have any Tezzerets. I just feel like, let's give Tezzeret some love. Right?
Let's give
Tezzeret some love. This one's in here because, I mean, his plus one says reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal an artifact card, and then it goes in your hand, which is great because that's more ramp. And if you can get to his ultimate, gain control of all artifacts and creatures target opponent controls. Huge.
Yeah, that's pretty great. That seems pretty great. And it's a real F you to just somebody. Can I say that?
You could say F you.
Okay,
yeah,
great. Because it means... Fudge.
I'll put Nutella on.
Nutella you, man.
And you've got an expensive Garrick that you opened.
Yes.
But I think there's a cheaper one for those who are interested. This one is about $6, which is more than the 13 that Apex Predator is.
Yeah.
So Primal Hunter, it's one of those things. I think it's here for the draw. It starts with 3, but -3 says draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. You could just draw probably 6 to 10 cards off of Atraxa. I'm not too interested in making a 3/3 green beast, and I'm not too interested in making 6/6 green worms for each land on the battlefield. But those aren't bad. I'll take them.
I mean, and the reason he's more expensive is any planeswalker that can plus one to create a token that can protect itself is hugely useful. Because there's not a ton of creatures in this deck. I think there's about 18 creatures and 13 or 14 planeswalkers. So anything that can create more creatures is super great because you need that extra protection. And you're not just drawing creatures every turn.
Great. So, awesome. True, right? We need to protect ourselves. Let's move on to another category.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed when testing your deck a little is like, sometimes I had so much mana but nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a couple of mana sinks that we might want. I think Steel Hellkite's a fun mana sink that you might add. Super budget. 6 mana for a 5/5 flying artifact dragon. Right, so Tezzeret can find these. The things that look for creatures can find these. You can pay 2 generic and give it +1/+0. And when you do combat damage, you can pay X and destroy all permanents that are X or that are exactly X on that person's board. So very useful. Very useful thing to do.
So useful. Yeah. I have this in my dragon deck as well. And in a bunch of decks because it's just such a good way to like stop a threat from somebody.
Huge.
And evasion and everything. It's great.
I might consider Feral Hydra.
Yes.
Green X for Hydra Beast. It's 0/0, but it starts with X plus on most encounters that we're going to be proliferating. But you can spend 3 generic to add 1 counter. So if I've got like a Astral Cornucopia or a Everflowing Chalice that's sitting at 10/11, I can just be like, I'll just make this go 5 bigger every turn, yeah, or 6 bigger every turn, or whatever.
Totally.
Something to consider if you wanted it a little bit like that. I think Realm Seekers is a fun mana sink for this deck. 4 green, Elf Scout, starts at 0/0, but it enters with X counters, +1/+1 counters, where X is the number of cards in all players' hands. It's got to be like 10.
Minimum.
And then 2 and a green, remove 1 +1/+1 counter, search for a land, not basic, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. One of the things I noticed while testing this deck as well is sometimes I just get flooded a little bit.
Totally.
So this guy just pulls lands out of your deck.
Yeah, and if you have a ton of mana, for sure, just like on your opponent's end step right before your turn, tap it all and like thin out your deck a bunch, because even if you end up discarding a bunch of lands, who cares? Yeah,
once you at a certain point you don't really need that much more. And I want to point out one more mana sink.
Yeah,
my favorite people. This is close to something I've always wanted. People always suggest this to me because we're so close. I'm all about that instant blue X scry X, but this is the best we have. Soothsaying.
Oh, I just feel so, you know, like comforted right now.
Right?
So soothed.
It's a single blue enchantment, and it's got 2 activated abilities. One of them is X, look at the top X cards of your library, put them back in any order. Again, with these mana rocks that just have so much mana on them, it's like, okay, at the end of your turn, I'll just look at the top 10 and decide what one I want.
Yeah, totally.
And then if you have a bunch of, if you've kind of exhausted that and you're like, ah, there's nothing else good in here, three blue, shuffle your library.
Yeah, man.
Mix it up again.
No problem.
It's not scry, but it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cool.
Love it.
So that's kind of a scenario breakdown of the categories.
Yeah. So, three stars of the deck.
Three stars of the deck. Alistair, as you brewed it, what do you consider the three stars of your deck? Number three,
Oracle's Vault. This was just a recent add, and it's amazing. Again, for a janky Atraxa Acquaintances deck. It's four mana. It's an artifact from Amon Khet. You pay two, tap it, and you exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card. Put a brick counter on Oracle's Vault. So you're basically paying two for card draw for the first three activations of it, but we'll talk about that in a second. Then the other text is, you can tap and exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card without paying its mana cost. Activate this ability only if there are three or more brick counters on Oracle's Vault. So at first it's just a card draw, but really you only need to activate it once, because that's actually really slow. Paying two, you cost three mana, four mana to come in, then you pay two mana to exile it, exile the top card once, put a brick counter on it. Then you just proliferate it for a couple turns, and then every single turn, you're just tapping the top card, tapping it, and playing the top card of your library for no mana cost. And it's huge. It did so much work for me in the couple games I've had it out.
Can you imagine this with Soothsaying? I'm just going to say that.
You're not wrong, man. You're right? Not wrong.
Right? Number two, you've put down as Seasons Past. That's four green. Return any number of cards with different converted mana costs from your graveyard to your hand. Seasons Past goes on the bottom of its owner's library.
Yeah, this is maybe an interesting one. It's expensive for sure for card draw, but the big thing is people go after your Planeswalkers a ton. And with this card, you get so many of them back. And it's done so much work for me every single time, because I end up playing a bunch of Planeswalkers, and then like if I run out of gas or something like that, this is the way that like they finally, everyone's like, oh, finally we got rid of them. And you just immediately pick them all back up and put them in your hand. It's great.
Ooh, I've seen you do it. It's dirty.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, I get so jealous when you're looking like, okay, I'll take this four drop. Ooh, and I'll take this six drop. So, okay, I'll out of my three drops. Well, I only have one 2-drop, so I get that for free.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much. Okay, great. And the number one star of the deck, I think every Atraxa player would probably call it Inexorable Tide.
Yeah.
Three blue enchantment. Whenever you cast a spell, proliferate.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah, like... undoubtedly the star of the deck, for sure.
Yeah, and a card that was super cheap and then has just, as soon as Atraxa came out, just gone up in price.
It went up a bunch, but it fell again.
Great.
What's it down to? $2.
Oh, yeah.
Back down to $2.
Perfect. That is so perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, don't buy into the fad.
Yeah, it's true, because really, especially for competitive decks, this is probably just too slow. It's 5 mana. But for our meta especially, like, this is fantastic. Because you played on turn... if you play it, you know, you can ramp up to it early. But also, if you could play it on a turn where you can also drop, like, a one or two drop artifact, that's immediately proliferation.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that, again, your opponents won't see necessarily. So they'll be calculating when they can kill your Planeswalker.
They don't know how many spells you're going to cast.
Yeah. Both that and the turn that you can drop this and another spell, proliferates and then gets you there.
Wow.
It's huge. It's so great.
Yeah. What a star. So, were there any surprises or discoveries for this deck of yours?
Yeah. So, even though I call this Atraxa Acquaintances, and everyone knows I've just got a bunch of bad Planeswalkers, I tell them.
Yeah.
And so, even though the Planeswalkers are bad, people won't believe that they're bad. So...
we've seen them be bad, and we still come after you, right?
100%.
Like a lot of his Planeswalkers are like, oh, look at the top two cards, and it's like, oh, that's a whiff, okay.
Yeah, totally.
So he's just here doing nothing. It's like, oh, what if he gets his ultimate? Oh, he gets three lands that turn into six sixes, and it's like, okay, great. So some of the ultimates are truly terrifying.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Right? But a lot of them are just kind of like, yeah, okay, that's... it's kind of bad. Yeah. Kind of annoying.
Totally. And, but I think it's just like a lesson that it's just like planeswalkers on the board. And I think people know this, but like they just get targeted. People just go after them.
You can't let a planeswalker go. You just can't. You just can't.
It is a free spell every turn, even if it's kind of a bad spell. Whatever the spell is, whether it's card draw or creating a token or whatever.
Yeah. I find that they all have... You know what it is, too? Even if there's one bad planeswalker, when you have three or four planeswalkers...
Yeah.
Even if they're all bad, you're just like, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this every turn.
Yeah.
And it becomes hard to fight four. Like, if there's one bad one, we can ignore it.
Yeah.
But then if there's two bad ones, they're like, well...
We gotta get rid of one of them at least.
And then once there's four bad plans, we're just like, well, this is ridiculous. Like, yeah. we can't let it all go, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, because you know how it, like, you try to avoid being the target, right? Like, in any EDH game, you often don't want to attack first at all because you'll be the target. And everyone's like, well, he's the aggressor, he's the target. Or she. And, but the problem with planeswalkers is everyone just like views that as the excuse, like, oh, well, I'm not attacking, I'm just attacking the planeswalker, right? Like, it's like, no, it still counts as attacking, but nobody sees it that way. Yeah. Nobody, you don't become the target for attacking a planeswalker. I'm just like, yeah, you should, obviously, strategically.
Yeah, right? You should. It's appropriate. The rule of thumb is do not let people untap with all their planeswalkers.
It's 100% true. And I will say this, though. Strategically, one thing I learned playing this is that the more you have out there, the longer you can survive because people do just go after them and not you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And it's annoying you because your whole game is to get to the ultimate and they keep preventing you from doing that. But also, you're not necessarily dying a lot of the time because they're just coming after your planeswalkers. And then once they kill all your planeswalkers, usually you have nothing and you're not a target and then they stop attacking.
You know what it might be? You know, it might be like, you're just giving me a brainstorm here. Maybe there should be a couple of cards in there that are like inevitability cards.
Yeah, like win conditions.
Yeah. Like, so they have to be like, well, we have to deal with these planeswalkers, but we don't have time to do both.
Yes. Right?
And one that I came across, I'll put it up on the screen here. How do you feel about this one? I don't know if this is any good.
Let's find out.
Keening Stone. 6 generic for an artifact. 5 and tap. Target player puts the top X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, where X is the number of cards already there.
Yeah.
So it doubles the size of your graveyard every time. And it's you always got to think of it like that, like double turn, where it's like on your end step, I'll double your graveyard. And then on my main phase, I'll double your graveyard. So it's 2 in a row.
Yeah.
So they only need to have 25% in there to do that all together. Now, it depends on how much graveyard hates in your meta. Sometimes graveyards don't stay full.
Yeah.
People are killing them all the time. But, you know, against a certain deck, like, and that's another thing I just thought of, like, do you have room for a card like this where your opponents are just like, I gotta either deal with these planeswalkers or this thing which will kill us. And whichever one we go for, the other one's just gonna do its thing.
It's too much to deal with. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why Walking Ballista too would be super great, because that, in some ways, that's also inevitability.
Yeah, one point at a time.
Yeah, it is. But with all the proliferate, you can just keep getting it bigger and bigger. But of course, it is slow.
Then maybe I might consider this as another win con. It's technically, it's not a red card, but it's Shrine of Burning Rage. I don't think it has any red mana symbols on it, but it's meant for red decks. 2 generic, at the beginning of your upkeep or whenever you cast a red spell, we won't.
Yeah.
Put a charge counter on it. 3, tap, sacrifice it, do damage equal to the number of charge counters to target creature or player. So Atraxa is proliferating these.
Yeah.
You get one every turn automatically, 2 every turn, 3 or 4 if you're proliferating all kinds of ways. This is also a way to just be like, this will kill you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and maybe like adding some of that inevitability would like, yes, yeah, spread it out a bit. I'll say this, because I am, really crap-talking this deck, but it is so much fun. I love playing it, even though I'm constantly the target with this stuff. The few times I have ultimated, it's living my Timmy dream, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just playing big, dumb creatures and big, dumb planeswalkers. And even though it's bad, like, I laugh at how bad some of these planeswalkers are, and I enjoy the heck out of it. So I do highly recommend it. If you're interested in a Super Friends deck, it is still... But you're like, oh, this is out of my budget. This is for sure a way to do it and still have a ton of fun.
Yeah, agreed. It's fun watching you have that fun of just like when you got three or four and you're like, do this, do this, do this, look through some cards, whiff, do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, make a token.
Yeah.
It's like, but man, it's just fun. It's fun knowing there's so much fun happening.
Exactly. And I've gone off with it, like, I think a couple, I maybe won like two games out of the, you know, maybe 15 I've played with this deck or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
15. But it's not, it's definitely not a deck where I feel like I'm not playing Magic or I get frustrated because I'm not winning. Because it, for me, I don't know about how you feel, but it's all, like, all I want to do with my EDH decks is, I mean, hopefully win, but also just try my game plan, you know what I mean? And get to do my game plan on some level. And if somebody stops it, more power to them, you know?
Yeah.
And this one, I've always been able to play my game plan, and it's super fun. And it's, yeah, it is a lot of politics as well, trying to convince people not to go off your play, like... Look how bad this thing is.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. We know better. We figured it out. Cool. Before we do the official budget report, let's talk about Wizard's Tower again. WizardTower.com. You know it's a great place to buy Magic cards. So you can also find out articles, content articles, on their sister site, MTGCanada.com. And you can just kind of find it from the homepage of either one of those. You can find a little tab to do that. I'm thinking I might start, because it's the me and Andy write articles for MTG Canada, and part of the deal is we get to like get a little bit of store credit on the side to do that. So I'm thinking of starting to maybe every now and then put in for a little bit of maybe a Planeswalker here or there. I think I want my own okay friends deck, or my own acquaintances deck, because there's a lot of cheap cards there, right?
Yeah, people underestimate how many cheap bad Planeswalkers there are, and it's because they keep printing them for like the dual decks and stuff like that.
Sure.
Right? And it's now, it's like every set they release, I think like there's two Nicol Bolas's this set, one in the draft that's super expensive and the other one that is pretty crappy relatively, but still like would be super fun. It's got red in it, so you can't put it in this deck.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I mean, is there are a lot of Planeswalkers out there that you just don't know about because you don't see them generally, and they're not coveted because they make the power level much worse.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, go check it out. WizardsTower.com. Use coupon code TOWERBRUS. Buy all the cheap ones you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, make your own deck. Let's talk about the budget report. We're not going to do a traditional budget report. Atraxa herself is $20.
Yeah.
Most expensive card. But you could dive in. So I did a count, Alistair. You've got 14 Planeswalkers in your brew.
Yeah.
Now, you already had a couple of them. I know you have Teferi.
Yeah.
And you have Garrick, Apex Predator, Elspeth, Sun's Champion. Those are some pricey ones that you've earned, like, you know, the traditional way of getting decks and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and Teferi, too. I'll just throw out there that Peer Through Time, that commander deck, is still relatively cheap.
Is that still true? When's the last time you looked that up? I think people have caught on.
Yeah, maybe. So when I say still relatively cheap, I meant 2 years ago.
Yeah. There was a time when the cards in it, they got Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah.
But Teferi has shot up recently.
I know Teferi, yeah.
So Teferi's like $16, I think. But anyway, so in Alistair's Brew, which you can check out on tappedout.net/users/commandersbrew, your Planeswalkers total about $80. But if you knock off the three most expensive ones and throw in the three ones we mentioned here that were like, you know, throw that Tezzeret in, throw a different Garrick in, you can get that down by $25. I think, you know, our own home deck, sometimes we have like the tuned up lands or whatever. I took a pass at your lands and kind of budgetified the lands and probably knocked off another $10 there, something like that. So this is... more than our normal $50, but I think we can get this down to under $100, certainly.
Yeah.
Including Atraxa.
And I'll say this too, like, for, because I have my five-color Scion deck, and similar thing too, where I have some fetch lands in there, but again, only ones I've drafted, never bought any. But I find, like, four-color budgets, in especially in our meta, which is relatively casual, it's really easy to get there. You're just gonna be a little bit slower, but like there's so many of the two color lands that are just cheap and so easy, and they get you there no problem.
Yeah, mana rocks tap for any color.
Yeah,
right. You have unlimited mana rocks that tap for any color,
and you have green, so you have access to all the, like, you know, Farseek and Cultivate and all that jazz.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's your regular friends. Yeah. We've talked about some tech. Can we expect an upgrade soon from you now that we've kind of broken it down and offered some cool ideas?
Well, I just put in Dujeru with
Jeru eyes open with eyes open.
Yeah, he's a 4/3, and I think he's 5 mana, 4 and a white. Terrible in draft, but I drafted 3 of them at the GP this weekend. We didn't talk about the GP, did we?
We'll do it at the end.
Great. Jero with eyes open, 3 white-white. He's 4/3 vigilance. When Jero with eyes open enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a planeswalker card, reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle your library, which is huge. And now here, if a source would deal damage to a planeswalker you control, prevent one of that damage.
I forgot that was part of him. I only care about the tutor.
Really? And I actually really mostly care about the other part, because I'm not generally a fan of tutors, mostly because I just find it makes decks play out the same.
Sure.
But of course that's great. The tutor is great with this. But it's like protecting those planeswalkers. Like, it just, that one extra damage just makes a huge difference.
Huge. Great.
Cool.
So you drafted a few of them at the GP. Maybe this is a good time to talk about our experience at GP Toronto.
Oh yeah.
I didn't play a ton of Commander because I had a bunch of like vouchers for side events, and you can win ticket prizes and use those tickets to like cash in on cool stuff. But I didn't want to do Commander pods for prizes because I'm averse to Commander where there's competition for money or prizes or something, because I think it's too easy for people to kind of play in a tone I don't care for.
Yeah, I talked to a couple people who have been doing them, and they seem to say like there were a lot of turn 4 or 5 combo wins with really tuned decks, which makes sense because prizes are on the line, and that's great. And as a guy who's just not ever really been into constructed form, like Standard and Legacy and Modern that much, like, I feel like really competitive Commander gets closer to that thing where you're trying to build a deck and like tune it in the most constructive way possible, and there's tier one deck lists out there that do that, and they play similar every time, and that's great. Like, if you're into that, like, that's great. But for sure I agree, like, that's not why I play Commander, and I feel like those Commander pods are always going to be that way.
Yeah, I did play a couple casual games. I met a few listeners there. Shout out to, he's on Twitch or Twitter, Nick Ulnuts. Played a game of him, played against his, what deck did I play the most? You know, it starts to blur. Your brain becomes mush. I met a guy. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to, from the Kitchener-Waterloo area in Ontario, the KW Play Space. Those guys played a match against Kirby, one of the guys who runs that. Not the K. The K doesn't stand for Kirby, it stands for Kitchener-Waterloo. Apparently huge Commander thing out there.
Oh, great.
Who else did I meet? Oh, I met, he goes on Twitch by Death Pig. He won a prize on Twitch one of our Brew and Brawl type of streams. Next Brew and Brawl is going to be the 30th of this month, 3 to 6 p.m. It's always the last Sunday of the month. Who else did we meet? I met Cam from the Disorganized Wizards Club. We don't do a lot of competitive stuff, but if you also do, that's my favorite competitive Magic podcast. I don't do competitive stuff, but I like thinking about it. I like reading about it. And it also helps to know like what cards are trending, when to buy cards, when to sell cards. I don't do that finance stuff, but I like to think about it. Disorganized Wizards Club, man, their podcast is toit. I think like they just think, I like the way they think about things. They do draft, they do sealed, they do modern, they do everything. Standard. Yeah.
Also shout out to Guy, who we met, who we played him, and he brewed Locust God and managed to actually pick up a Locust God before the GP Toronto. And I remember, so it was maybe like, I don't know, turn 7 or 8, and he put down an infinite combo, some enchantment with the Locust God. It was 3 cards. Oh, I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
And then we were both looking at it going, oh, there's no way to deal with this. And then in my hand, like, this after he'd already figured out, I was like, oh, wait, I have a Swan Song. And then we all agreed to let the game keep going, that I would have Swan Songed it if I'd known what it did.
Yes.
And so we all agreed. But then we agreed, like, okay, but we'll keep going with the game just because we want to play more. but spiritually, Guy for sure wins this game no matter what.
Yeah.
And then we kept playing, and then Guy just won the game for real.
For real. Yeah. The Locust God, seen it in action, it is way tougher than Niv-Mizzet, right? Oh. Locust God is greater than Niv-Mizzet. One of these arrow things, for sure.
It's
for
so
sure.
Good. It's the fact that when you draw a card, you get those 1/1 insect tokens with flying, right?
Yeah.
But it's
with
the fact
haste.
Yeah, it's the haste that kills you, because you're like looking at his board going like, I can probably deal with this. I'll figure this out, or I could do a board wipe on my turn or that kind of thing. But then on his turn, he'll just create like 20 more with haste, and you're just like, well, okay. Like,
and it never goes away.
Yeah, right.
Right. If you kill it, it's just going to come back on the next end step, and he's going to cast it again and then draw some cards and then make hasty tokens, and it's all over.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That was great. GP Toronto, such a good time. We drafted so many, 11 times each or something?
Something like that. Drafts. We did a conspiracy draft, which is sort of commander-y.
Yeah.
Did you open any cards that you want? We talked about Jeru for your commander decks. Any other commander cards you got you know where they're going to go?
Unesh. The Sphinx.
Yeah.
We could talk about that for a second, because I have a Sphinx tribal deck, which is so great. So this card is amazing for it. Unesh, Cryo Sphinx Sovereign, is 4 colorless, 2 blue. He's a 4/4 legendary creature Sphinx flying. Sphinx spells you cast cost 2 less to cast, which is so huge, because Sphinxes are always expensive. And then whenever Unesh comes into the battlefield, or another Sphinx enters the battlefield under your control, reveal the top 4 cards of your library. An opponent separates those cards into 2 piles. Put 1 pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard. Basically every Sphinx becomes a mini Factor Fiction-ish.
But you're going to put this in your Metamai deck.
Yes, in my right? Metamai deck, which is blue-white, so I didn't... even though it would make such a good commander, I did want to keep the white Sphinxes I got and the white cards I got, so I have it in the 99 of my Metamai deck.
I think Unesh is perfect as part of the 99, because once you get Unesh out, you draw a bunch of cards, and then it makes Metamai 2 cheaper.
Yeah.
So, like, it cancels out one instance of tax, or just, you know, cast your commander for 4 late.
Yeah, and then draw a bunch of cards when you do.
Draw a bunch of cards when you do. Great. Oh, man. Because it's already sort of a Sphinx Tribal deck.
Yeah. Oh, it's completely Sphinx Tribal. Like, and it's Sphinx Tribal in that it's all Sphinxes, but also I like the idea that it's all the cards are like opponents have to make choices, or it's like that.
Yeah.
That tough, like...
tough love.
Yeah, like they're trying to out trick people, outthink people.
Riddles. Like,
yeah,
riddles. Riddles.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah.
And to that end, this is a card I didn't think I'd put in it, but I drafted God Pharaoh's Gift. Something like that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is it God Pharaoh's Gift? Which is a 7 mana artifact. And it's colorless. And I didn't really think about this card, but I played it in a draft, and it's incredible. So 7 mana artifact. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may exile a creature card from your graveyard. If you do, create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 4/4 black zombie. It gains haste until end of turn. Now the key there, it gains haste until end of turn, but it does not disappear at the end of turn. So it just means, like, my Sphinxes die all the time, and I'm blue-white, so I'm not recurring them. I have no way to bring them back, really. And so every single turn, I just get a free Sphinx from the graveyard back on the battlefield with its ETB effect, and it stays there.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, it'll be a little bit smaller, but it's still a 4/4 flyer, which is pretty great.
Yeah. This card is nuts. I want one.
Yeah.
I didn't open anything that I'm just like, this is going in a deck right now. I opened a few of those Hour of Revelations, which I think is going to be a standard board wipe for our format. Hour of
Revelation. Yeah, and
the white one, right?
I wanted to ask you, because I got one of these as well, but I was like, I don't think this is going to be good in Atraxa because of the white. But maybe it still will.
I think it will. Because a lot of your things... A lot of your mana sources...
Or whatever
can
color.
Be whatever, like... Astral Cornucopia makes whatever color you want.
Yeah.
And then a lot of those creatures, you can pull off tokens to get any color you want. You're tutoring for lands. A lot of dual lands have some white in it. That's the other thing about a 4-color deck. You can choose the dual lands, the guild gates, the gain lands, whatever you want, the budget ones, and favor certain colors more than others.
Completely, yeah. Like
if you need to, you can treat one color sort of as a splash.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally true. Maybe right. I mean, it's so good. Should we read it?
Sure. It's 3 white for a sorcery. Destroy all non-land permanents. Huge. But it also costs 3 generic less if there's 10 or more permanents on the battlefield, which there always will be in our format. There's always going to be 10 or more non-land permanents.
Especially when you want to cast this. Yeah,
right. So, like, it's basically a 3-mana wrath in any deck that has a heavy white, so...
It's huge.
I drafted a few of these, and they're going straight in white decks, of course. I think it's a strict upgrade.
Yeah, of course. I'm trying to think what else... I'm curious to know, although I don't think it exists... this is from Amon Cab, but I drafted the Glorious End.
No way this is in Commander.
But it doesn't... I mean, strategically, we know this shouldn't belong in Commander or any format, really.
Right, it's the one that's an instant 2 red, end the turn. At the beginning of your next end step, you lose.
Yeah. But, don't you just want to get to Magical Christmas Land and play this to win a game sometime?
I don't think that's... I mean, I don't... Even imagining Magical Christmas Land, it's hard to imagine a scenario where...
All the other opponents but one has died.
Yeah, it's just heads up, and you're just like, oh.
If I can get one more turn, I win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. It's stupid, but, oh, man, it would be fun.
Right? I don't know. I mean, it's a shame Atraxa doesn't have red in it, because this might be nice to get an extra proliferate onto your planeswalkers before anybody gets to do anything to them. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. It's terrible. But I do open this card and I'm like, oh, well. Like,
oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it, I think, for the episode. The GP Toronto was great.
Amazing.
If you haven't done GPs, if there's a local one near you, I recommend it highly. Bring water. Bring energy bars, bring snacks, don't forget to drink water, and, you know, the food, right? Take care of the normal stuff, too. That's one thing that's easy to let go. That's what I learned.
Absolutely, yeah. And I will say this, that we last year went and won a ton of tickets from our drafts and then all bought just a ton of packs of Shadows over Innistrad. What it meant is that everyone in our group still, to this day, has basically a box of Shadows.
Yeah.
And so, like, this year we learned, and instead of buying packs, we spent all of our tickets on swag, like those archive boxes, which are amazing.
Deck boxes.
And the boulders and a playmat I got. And it's like, and I got a Champion's Helm masterpiece as well.
Ooh.
Which is just fun. Like, and it's great, like, in a few packs, but I think that's the way to go unless you're drafting all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, what a blast. Can't wait for the next one. Keep an eye out. I think Andy and I would like to hit another one out that's not in Toronto, but we haven't decided what one it is yet. Alistair, if we want to follow you and see all the pictures of your Nutella sandwiches, how can we reach you?
At HaHa Forbes on Twitter, the worst Twitter name of all time.
I think it's pretty good. It's on point. We know what to expect. We expect lots of jokes.
Yep, only. Haven't updated it much lately. I gotta get back into it a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Stay tuned for a Commander interview, and thanks for listening, gang.
If you want to contact us, I'm at Sean Tabaris.
And I'm at Andy Hullbone.
Send us an email at commandersbrew@gmail.com.
You can find out when we go live on Twitch if you follow us at twitch.tv.
And if you care to support us on Patreon, check us out at patreon.com.
And you can find our deck list on tappedout.net.
And if we forgot anything, commandersbrew.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Commander interview, where we interview one of the commanders. Alistair could not be here with us, unfortunately. There was a sale on actual on-brand Nutella. He had to run and grab that. Limit 6 per customer. But I have with me Jeru with eyes open.
Hello.
Hello. great. Welcome to the podcast. You are... We only just met you. We didn't know you for very long. Amon Cab is new to us here on Earth Plane. How are you? What's it like? What's it like being Jeru?
It's hard. Hard being Jeru with eyes open.
Oh, sure. I'm assuming because Amon Cab is undergoing a lot of stress right now, right? Lots of bad stuff's happening. It's probably hard for everybody on Amon Cab, right?
No, I have never blinked. Not once in my life. I dream of the day I blink.
Oh, is that's your eyes open? With eyes open?
Excuse me, I have to splash some water on my eyes.
Oh, okay. Feel free, please don't let me stop you if you need to take care of your eyes. Oh, wow.
The one thing I have enjoyed about this earth plane you've had me visit is this product, Visine?
Visine, yeah.
Visine.
Yeah, it's great for
you. I will be taking many, many crates of Visine back to Amonkhet.
Okay. Normally, we interview these people through different planes. We are special interview, but you actually came to Earthplane, which is new for us.
That's right.
So, I mean...
I just wanted to leave the desert. It is so dry and windy. I've had a piece of sand stuck in my eyes for 46 years. Can you see it?
Yeah, I do. I can see it.
Stick your finger in my eye.
I'm not
gonna get it out.
No,
just
I'm not.
Get it.
I can't. You know what, Jeru? Honestly, like it's creepy to me to touch an eye. I can't even touch my own eye. I would never be able to wear contacts.
That's the reason I can't get it out either. It's creepy for me to touch my own eye. It's the only reason I haven't got this piece of sand out in 46 years.
So, can I ask you then?
Yes.
Why go back to Amonkhet if Nicol Bolas is just ruining the place? Why not stay here on Earthplane? You know, make a home here. Find someone special. Settle down. Start a little thing.
I have a retirement plan. It's set in place. And on Amonkhet is where my retirement takes place. I have socked some money away, and I'm going to write for a bird-watching magazine.
Okay.
I can see them all the time.
You're good at watching birds?
Well, I never blink.
Are there still magazines now that everything has been devastated?
I hope so. I really put all of my eggs in this magazine basket. So.
Listen, I honestly think you should stick here on Earthplane now that you're here. I mean, you could be like a movie blogger.
Oh,
You could watch movies for a living. Movies are moving pictures of stories. We tell stories.
Oh, yes.
On film.
I heard of these. I saw an ad for one. It's called Eyes Wide Shut. Oh, a dream that would be. I assume it's just a person closing their eyes for hours on end. I would love to watch that.
Okay, I gotta ask. Where did you see an ad for Eyes Wide Shut? Because that movie's like 15 to 20 years old.
I saw it in the back of an old Earth birdwatching magazine.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. So you found birdwatching magazines. I'm curious, what was your first, like, day like when you sparked on over here to Earth?
Well, first I had to change my clothes. This bronze armor will not do, as the hotel told me.
What hotel are you staying at?
The Radisson. do you know it?
Yeah, it's a medium hotel. It's a value hotel. Right?
It is very nice. Well, you know what? I am not used to sleeping in rooms with walls that are roofs that are flat and don't come to a peak.
Oh, pyramids! Everything is a pyramid, and I'm okay.
That's the joke I was getting to. Yes, and they have a pool. And there's no fire or lava in it.
No, or blood.
Or blood. But there was the day I went in the pool.
But what happened? Did you get chlorine in your eyes?
Exactly, exactly. Just bleeding everywhere. And no. Just chlorine, and I just splashing the water, and I didn't realize the chlorine was in the water. It looks clear. We don't have chlorine on Amonkhet.
No, chlorine, it's relatively safe in small doses, and it keeps it from having bacteria. It keeps the water safe to, you know, in case you swallow some.
Well, the Radisson should have told me when I booked the room, which is why I'm suing the Radisson.
Jared, okay, how do you know about suing?
I made fast friends here immediately with litigious lawyers. I saw an ad in the back of another magazine to saying, are you injured in an accident? And I was like, yes, I am. And he said, we have a case. Radisson, you will burn in the fiery hells of the municipal court system.
You already know that there's levels of court. Jeru, you're a very smart person. I feel like...
Indeed.
Don't waste your time with this lawsuit. You should start an entrepreneurship or so. You could use that brain. You know so much already from being here for days.
That's fair. I have been thinking about starting up another business.
Oh, what's that?
Great question. It's a chocolate company.
Oh.
I bet you're wondering what the connection is to that and my open eyes.
Yeah.
It's because I can make really pure chocolate because I'll never miss anything that drops in it. This... Okay, well, look, I might be smart, but I'm not great at business ideas, I'll admit.
Okay, well, Jero, it's been great having you here.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry Alistair wasn't here to talk to you. I think he would have loved to encourage you to put hazelnuts in that chocolate and make a spread for toast.
That sounds like a chocolate for boys.
It's for everybody. But it shouldn't be for breakfast, but we've been tricked into thinking it's breakfast food when it's dessert.
I will attempt to eat some of this.
Great. I'm going to lend you some sunglasses so the light isn't so bright in your eyes.
What?
Okay, no way you don't know what sunglasses are, but you know what the municipal courts are.
I feel like this is defamation of character. I will sue the Commander's Brew.
You can't sue us. Please don't sue us. Please don't sue us, Jeru. What's that over there in that doorway there?
Oh, a bright light.
Oh, is that a spark? Get back to Elmo Kit!
No!